question. How many times have you on your own and have wanted to give up? How many times maybe you started a task, or maybe it's exercise, maybe it's diet, maybe it's a project, and at some point through the task you're just like, I cannot do this anymore. It's been really nice with Eve being home. I did start running. I'm so accident prone, it's unbelievable. I started training for a half marathon, and I pulled my calf muscle, and then I had a couple of years off, and I thought, I'm going to try it again. I started training for a half marathon, and then pulled my hamstring, and then I was like, do you know what? The script is right. Bodily exercise profiteth little. I think I just need to stop. But it's really interesting. Like when you're running on your own, there are times when you think, oh, I can't be bothered with this anymore. I just want to stop. But when you're running with somebody, like I've had the opportunity with Eve being home now the last month or so, just to go for a run with Eve, and she is such a bundle of energy. It's brilliant. She's like, oh, come on, Dad, let's just keep going. Let's run a little bit extra. Let's just go a little bit faster. And it's really encouraging when you are doing something with somebody. And I'm saying all of that to say this. You know, there are times in our spiritual race when we are running that we hit a wall. You know, you get to a point where you think, I'm done. My energy levels are gone. I feel like I've got no energy left. I've got no strength left. I literally physically cannot put one foot in front of the other. And we just need somebody to come alongside us and go, keep going. Keep going. And it's incredible how the Lord is the God of encouragement. In Exodus chapter 3, we are familiar with this passage of scripture because this is where we have God appearing to Moses from the burning bush. And God said to Moses, listen, I'm going to call you from here, and you're going to lead the children of Israel out, and you're going to come back to this mountain. And Horeb had a special place in the children of Israel. God appeared three times that we're going to look at today on Mount Horeb. Twice to Moses, once to Elijah. And it just shows us the type of encouragement that God gives us at the time we need it. You know, we looked at rest this morning and how we need to come apart and rest a while, and, you know, how we can enter into the Lord's rest. But there are times we just need to kind of get up and run and keep going. And when we feel like we can't go on, that's when the Lord, the God of encouragement, comes alongside and says, child, keep going, keep going, keep going. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burnt with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh there. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day, for this time together, for this privilege to come around your word. Father, we prayed you'd help us tonight, Lord. We live in a world that is full of discouragement. We live in a world that is full of hatred, that is full of anger, that's full of violence. But Father, we want to hear your voice tonight. We know that we serve a God of love. We serve a God who loved this world so much that he was willing to sacrifice his own son that we might spend eternity with you. And Father, there are times that we struggle in our race. We recognize that we are to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But there are times when we struggle. But I'm thankful that we serve a God who is the God of encouragement. And Father, we want to hear your voice tonight. We want to hear you say to us, for us to keep going, for us to just keep looking to Jesus, for us to just keep putting that one foot in front of the other. And I just pray that you would allow us to remove all distractions tonight, Lord. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear, thus saith the Lord. And we ask that you would speak to our hearts and give us the encouragement that we need wherever we may find ourselves tonight. We need your encouragement. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So when God appeared to Moses on Mount Horeb, we see that God spoke to Moses. And Moses spent 40 years serving as a shepherd in Midian. And during that time, he spent a lot of time alone in the fields and the plains. And I'm sure he had the opportunity to reflect upon who God was. I'm sure he had the opportunity to reflect upon the mistakes that he made in those first 40 years of his life in Egypt. Maybe he reflected on those times that his mother spoke to him about the Lord, spoke to him about the promises and covenants that God had given to Abraham. And maybe he'd even beaten himself up about the mistakes that he'd made. And oftentimes, I said this morning, you know, we are our own worst enemy, and sometimes we fail before we even take our first steps because we defeat ourselves. And I wonder if Moses beat himself up about his failure and the reason that he had to flee Egypt. But Moses was caring for the flock of God. You know, sometimes we kind of, in our spiritual walk, feel like we want to give up, but we just got to keep going. Just keep serving the Lord. Just be busy about the Lord's business. And we will hear God's voice. You know, if we kind of decide to stop and give up and not get in the Word and not want to be around God's people and not want to be in church, and then we're not going to hear God's voice. But Moses was still busy doing what he was meant to do. And God spoke. Gideon was threshing wheat when God spoke to him. Samuel was serving in the tabernacle when God spoke to him. David was caring for the sheep when God spoke to him. Elijah was plowing when God spoke to him. Four of the disciples were fishing when God spoke to them. Matthew was collecting taxes when God spoke to them. So God can even speak to tax collectors. God has nothing good to say about laziness. You know, when we feel like giving up, that's not an excuse to pack it all in. God has not got anything good to say about laziness. And he speaks to Moses from the burning bush. And oftentimes, God doesn't speak to us for our benefit. Oftentimes, God speaks to us for the benefit of somebody else. God spoke to Moses, and it wasn't for Moses' benefit that God spoke to him. It was for Israel's benefit. God spoke to Moses. Moses answered that call, and Israel was taken out of Egyptian bondage and was brought to the promised land. Moses was to be the instrument to lead the nation out of Egyptian bondage. And Moses offered excuse after excuse after excuse. In verse 11, he says that he's a nobody. Who am I? I am a nobody. But God said, I know who you are. But in verse 12, God said, I know who I am. You might be a nobody, but I'll be with you. Then Moses said he didn't know enough about God. In verse 13, what shall I say unto them? And God tells Moses exactly what he should say. God says, I know you've got a problem with speaking, but I'm going to give you the words to speak. This is what you ought to say. And then Moses says in chapter 4 and verse 1, they will not believe me. And then God says, no, they won't believe you. But they'll believe me. Verse 5, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. Then Moses says that he can't talk properly. Verse 10 of chapter 4, I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And God said, I made your mouth in the first place. I'll tell you exactly what to say. And then Moses finally said, Lord, would you just send somebody else? Verse 13, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the Lord said, you know what? Aaron's on his way. I'm going to send Aaron. And I'll speak through you, through him, to Pharaoh. No matter what excuse Moses came up with, the Lord had an answer. You know, we come up with a lot of, we are a people of excuses. We will find an excuse to not do anything. And it's like that way sometimes with our spirit. There's excuses why people won't come to know Christ as their Savior. Well, it's just not the right time. I don't believe that Jesus was God. It's just not for me. That's just not something I want to do. And plenty of excuses. There's excuses that we make for not coming to church on a Sunday, for not reading our Bible every day, for not witnessing to somebody, for not handing out a tract, for not being the Christian that we ought to be. But we can't fool God. Regardless of what excuses we offer up. You know, I was really good at giving excuses for homework in school. I was brilliant. I had my father's signature down perfectly. And I'd sign my homework book. Brilliant. I learned to play. I got to grade 5 of the trombone. Just because band practice was on the same night as detention. So I could tell my parents I was in band practice when I was in detention. And I'd just come home and then, I can play the trombone, I'm in band practice. I wasn't in band practice, I was in detention. I was brilliant at excuses, but you can't make excuses with the Lord. You can't turn around and say, oh yeah, well Lord, I don't feel like doing that today. Well Lord, I'm not up to going to church. Well Lord, I don't really want to do that. God knew exactly what Moses' excuse were. And God said, I've got an answer for every single one of them. Our heart's desire is to just keep serving the Lord. But there are times we feel like we are struggling. There are times we feel like we can't do this. There are times when we feel like, oh, I just can't go on. And then the Lord comes alongside us and says, hey, look, I've got an answer for every single one of your excuses. I've got an answer for every single one of your weaknesses. I've got an answer for every single one of your problems. I've got an answer for every single one of your issues. And I know you can't do it, but I can. And I'm going to do it through you. I'm the one that's going to give you the strength. Like Paul said, when he had the thorn in his flesh, what did the Lord say? He said, when you are weak, that's when God's strength can be seen through your life. Because if we could do it in our strength, there would be no need for God to get any glory because we'd get the glory. But we can't do this in our strength. And we can't. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Who encourages us, who gave us the comforter so that he would be with us in this journey. And on that mountain, God speaks to us. And no matter what excuse we offer up, no matter what problem we give him, no matter what we say, God has an answer for each and every excuse that we offer. But not only does God speak, the next time we see God speak on this mountain, we see that God supplies. Exodus chapter 17. And it says in Exodus 17, verse 1, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for the water the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou wouldst brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They almost be ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before this people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod wherein thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? As they move towards Mount Sinai, the people of Israel are still being led by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And the Lord was directing Israel into difficult situations in order to prove his strength and his power. For years, Israel had been told, where they could go, what they could do. They didn't do anything other than what they were told to do by the Egyptians. And now they've been freed from that, and all the Lord says is just follow me. And he leads them by the cloudy pillar in day, and he leads them by the fiery cloud by night. And how incredible that the lessons that they learned, it wasn't just about the destination. It was getting to that destination. You know, I'll be honest with you. When we go away on holidays, I'm a bit of a fanboy when it comes to airports. I loved working in on aircraft engines. I loved that part of my life and that job. And I still fanboy a little bit when I go to the airport. And I drive Joe to distractions. I'm like, ooh, that engine's a CFM56. And oh, that engine's a G90. And oh, that plane is a 777. And that's an A380. And oh, they got four of the engines that I used to work on. And it drives Joe nuts. But I love it. It's better than train spotting, I think. Not by much. Just a little bit lower than train spotting. No offense to all the train spotters out there. But for me, it's not just about like going away on holiday. I'm on holiday the minute. Like if we're going on holiday like Monday morning, as soon as I finish in the pulpit selling it, I'm on holiday. And it's like, I go home and I'm looking forward to going on holiday. And then I wake up in the morning all excited and I get in the car and I'm all excited. It's about the journey. And I think sometimes we are so concerned about our destination that we forget that most of the lessons we learn are on our journey towards that destination. You know, the children of Israel would learn so much on their way to the promised land. It wasn't just about the promised land. You know, it's not just about heaven. It's not just about the end of our lives. It's not just about the finish line. It's what we learn and what we do and how we grow and what we see and what we gain as we head in towards our final eternal destination. Israel had such a long way to go before they would qualify as a godly nation. And so far, all we've seen in the children of Israel is the worst of them. And when they arrive at Rephidim, they see that there's no water and they complain and they fail a test again. They've seen God perform all of these plagues in Egypt. They've seen God part the Red Sea. They've seen God make bitter water sweet. They've seen God do all of these things already. And yet they're still like, oh, have we got no water? Oh, we can't. And how many times have we seen the Lord answer our prayers? And yet we come to a point in our life where we say, yeah, but God can't do that. Can he? What about all of those times that he's come through for us in the past? What about all of those times that he's already supplied our need in the past? God had proved to the children of Israel that he was able to supply them with water. So why did they doubt? Why were they arguing with Moses? Why were they still looking back towards Egypt? You know, I've said this before. You will kind of walk in the direction that you are looking at. And if you are kind of looking to the side and you were trying to walk in a straight line, you will head off to the side. If you want to go and have a walk with Joe, if you want to take part in human doldrums, then be my guest, because she's so nosy, that she's so busy looking around, and she's in a world of her own. She just bumps into you all. It's a nightmare. Because you are literally zigzagging. And it'd be interesting. We'll do an experiment one day. We'll go and have a walk in the snow. And I think we'll see how straight a line she can walk. Because she just zigzags. But we're like that then in our Christian walk. We're so busy doubting the Lord and looking all over the place. Instead of just fixing our eyes upon him and trusting him, we've got our eyes all over the place. Maybe looking back to you know, were things better back then? Oh, well, what about that over there? Is what the world is offering now better than? And did I make the right decision in becoming a Christian? And do I look over here? Our walk is meant to be on a straight and narrow path, but it's zigzagging all over the place. God is the God who supplies. If we trust God, then we've got to trust him for everything. If we trusted him for salvation, guess what? We can trust him to take care and supply our lives. When the people of Israel chided with Moses, what did Moses do? Moses just cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They are ready to stone me. And the Lord instructs Moses, take some elders with you, take that rod with you, smite the rock in front of the people, and the water will come forth. And when Moses did that, the supplies of all the people were met. God still supplies the needs of his people today. He meets the needs of those who know him. And for those, we see that the rock is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, smitten for us on the cross. 1 Corinthians 10 says this, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat of the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." God will supply your needs. God will speak to your heart. God has already supplied the greatest need of our heart, and that's the need of salvation. I don't care who you are. I don't care how intelligent you think you are. I don't care what background you are from. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then there is no hope for you. And that's just what the Bible says. But Christ says to have a childlike faith, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll be saved. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our only means of salvation." But Christ is a rock for salvation. Christ is a rock for foundation. That means that we have that sure footing, that we can stand the test of time, as it were. And God on this mountain, not only did he speak to Moses to encourage, but he supplied for the children of Israel to encourage them. He's provided, if you like, a Mount Horeb in our lives where we can go and he'll supply our needs. It's interesting in verse 7 that he called the name of the place Massa and Meribah. Massa means to test. Meribah means to quarrel. The Jews had not yet learned that God tests his people in everyday experiences of life. And he uses difficult experiences to help us to grow, to increase our faith, to strengthen our faith, to mature our character. Israel's faith in God was weak because they thought he'd led them to a place where he could not supply their need. He will supply our needs according to his riches in glory. And there are going to be many places that we come to that are called Massa, places of testing. There's going to be many places we come to that are called Meribah, a place of quarreling. Cory Ten Boom used to say, "Don't bother to give God instructions. Just report for duty." My God is able to supply all my needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. God speaks and that encourages us. God supplies and that encourages us. But also on Mount Horeb, God strengthens and that encourages us. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah's had an incredible victory on Mount Carmel. He's just defeated the prophets of Baal. He's called down fire from heaven. Jezebel makes a comment that she wants to kill Elijah, and then Elijah flees for his life. And then it says, after he was fed, God fed Elijah, then he arose in verse 8, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. And he came thither unto the cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake it in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord is not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord is not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord is not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it." And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. And him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet have I left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So Elijah had this great victory at Mount Carmel. Jezebel threatens him, and he runs. And it was so bad that Elijah said that he wanted to die. And when the Lord comes to Elijah, the Lord just simply met Elijah's needs. In verse 5 and 7, Elijah slept under a juniper tree. An angel touched him, and when Elijah awoke, there was food for him to eat. And the Lord supplied Elijah's need and then spoke to his heart and said, Arise and eat. And after he'd arisen, and even though he was trying to run away from the Lord had not left him. You know, the Bible is quite clear when it says that he will never leave us and never forsake us. God was still faithful to Elijah, even in spite of Elijah's failures. You know, why doesn't he forsake us when we forsake him? Why doesn't he turn around and say, I'm done with him. I can't get him to be faithful. I can't get him to be committed. I can't get him to do this. Wash my hands of them. That's not how the Lord works. And I'm thankful that he doesn't work like that, because I'm sure we give him enough reason to wash his hands of us. But he never will. Even though we forsake him on times, he will never forsake us. Even though Elijah was running away from the will of God for his life, God still met his need. Now, you need to understand this. If you go off and willfully sin and you head off in the wrong way on purpose, then the Lord will deal with you. He will deal with you patiently. He will deal with you lovingly. He will deal with you compassion. But if you refuse to repent and if you refuse to return, then you'll have to deal with the Lord. Elijah arrives on Mount Carmel. And again, this is a mountain of great significance. This was the mountain where the Lord spoke to Moses from the burning bush. This was the mountain where the Lord provided the water. This is a mountain of great significance. And perhaps Elijah went here so that he could hear the voice of God. When he arrives, he goes into a cave and he sits down and waits for God to speak. But the Lord's voice doesn't come to the prophet. Or when it does come to the prophet, it's probably not what Elijah was expecting. Have you got to that point where maybe you go to somebody for advice and you really want somebody to give you a rah-rah speech and be like, oh, do you know what? You were awesome and you just keep going and oh, you're the best person that is, that you blah, 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 and just, oh, you were amazing. And maybe Elijah wanted the Lord to do that. And Elijah sits there in the midst of his pity party waiting for the Lord to speak. And maybe Elijah wanted God to say, Elijah, you've been fab. You were awesome on Mount Carmel. Elijah, oh, you just keep going, buddy. You are the best version of you there is. And what does God say to Elijah? What are you doing? Well, that wasn't in the script. That's not what I was expecting. I was kind of expecting more of a rah-rah speech, Lord. I wasn't. But the Lord speaks practically. Elijah, what are you doing here? What are you doing? God didn't call Elijah to sit in a cave in Mount Horeb. God called Elijah to preach to his people Israel. He said, Elijah, you know, what are you doing here? You should be back out there. You've just had that victory on Mount Carmel. Now's the time to strike while the iron's hot. Now's the time to preach revival to the nation of Israel. I didn't call you to run and hide in this cave. I didn't call you to run and have a pity party on your own. I called you to preach to my people. You should be in Israel leading my people. You should be in Israel preaching the word of God. I didn't call you to hide. And maybe the Lord says to us today, what are you doing here? I didn't call you to sit and cower. I didn't call you to sit and have a pity party. I didn't call you to sit and go over all the things that you've done wrong in your life and wallow in self-pity. I called you to be more than a conqueror. I called you to be the believer that I need you to be. I called you to be different. Does he ask us the same question today? But now that the Lord has Elijah's attention, and I'm sure that would get your attention if God came to us and say, "Oh, what are you doing here?" Kind of get us to sit up and pay attention. Right, now I've got your attention. Now I can speak to you. And when the Lord's got Elijah's attention, the prophet stands before the Lord. And how incredible that in that cave, when the Lord passed by, says that there was a strong wind that rent the mountain. But the Lord wasn't in that wind. There was an earthquake that shook the mountain to the foundation, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. There was a great fire, but the Lord wasn't in that either. And after that, there was a still, small voice. What the earthquake and the fire could not do, the still small voice did. It touched Elijah's heart. And that's what Elijah needed. And the Lord knew that that's what Elijah needed. Because you might say, well, we have seen the Lord kind of speak in an earthquake. Because when he speaks, literally the mountain shakes. We know that he has a voice that is the sound of like a mighty thunder. A voice of a mighty roaring water. So he does speak like that. Yeah, but that's not what Elijah needed. Elijah needed the still, small voice. He needed to know that God isn't interested in the great striking things that impressed men. He's interested in working in men's hearts. When you think about it, Elijah was used to the remarkable. Elijah has just seen fire call down from heaven. Elijah has been fed by ravens. Elijah has survived a 3.5-year drought. Elijah has seen the remarkable hand of God move. But what Elijah needed wasn't the remarkable. Elijah just needed the Lord to strengthen him in that still small voice. I've still got people who haven't bowed the knee, Elijah. Just keep going. There's no need to give up. You know, sometimes we expect God to do the massive, miraculous, huge things to get our attention. But sometimes he just works in the smallest of ways. In that still, small voice. And if we are too preoccupied, or we are too busy, or we're not focused, sometimes we just miss it. It's incredible how different people need different things. I'm sure Dad and Brother Andrew and anybody else who's been a teacher would recognize this, that there were some children in class that you literally needed to shake in order to get the best out of them. But then there were other kids who would take different forms of criticism or encouragement, or because that method wouldn't work on everybody. So there were some kids that needed to be challenged, and there were some kids that needed to be encouraged, and there were some kids that needed to be shouted at, and there were some kids that needed to be spoken to. And it's the same with us. When the Lord strengthens us, sometimes he really needs to get our attention. And perhaps he'll use the big things. Perhaps he'll use an illness, a tragedy, a moment that literally gets us to stop. And then sometimes he just uses the, and please understand when I say it, I'm not being disrespectful of the Lord or his word, but when I say the mundane things, I'm just meaning like the everyday Bible reader. And I don't mean that it's mundane and that, oh, it's so boring. I just mean it's something that we do every single day. Normal. And then the Lord speaks to us and we're like, wow. I think oftentimes we expect the Lord to miraculously speak to us, to strengthen us. When he just says, child, I can speak to you every single day. in a still small voice. I don't know where you are tonight or what encouragement you need. Maybe you're struggling with something in work. Maybe you're struggling with something at home. Maybe you're struggling with something in a relationship. Maybe you're struggling with something in your walk with the Lord and you just need God to speak to you. Where's your Mount Horeb? He'll speak to you and he'll give you the encouragement that you need. Maybe you think, I just can't do this. I can't go on. Well, guess what? God will supply your needs. He'll give you what you need as he encourages you to keep going. And then he'll come alongside you and he'll be your greatest cheerleader because he'll strengthen you. And he will come alongside and say, child, what are you doing here? I've not called you to sit here and wallow in self-pity. Let's get going. Come on. We got a race to run. And I'm just going to speak to you in a still small voice and say, child, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for this time together tonight and for this opportunity to come around your word. And Lord, I just pray that whatever encouragement people need tonight, Lord, that they would receive that from you. That they would know that you speak to hearts today. That they would know that you supply every need according to your riches in glory. And that they would know that you can strengthen the heart of every single one of your children. So Father, we just want your encouragement tonight. We pray that you would help us. We recognize how difficult our walk is. We recognize how tough our race is. But I'm thankful we don't run this race on our own. That we have that comfort over the side of us to encourage us every single step of the way. And we thank you for that. So Lord, would you continue to speak to our hearts? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're standing and sing our last hymn and do it in the last verse. I'm going to ask Dad to come up and then close us in a word of prayer. Amen.
we close in prayer? Loving Heavenly Father, with those words ringing in our hearts, let us shine as you shine. Let us be that beam of light. Heavenly Father, we've heard tonight how you strengthen us, you guide us, you steer us. Oh, we thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for your goodness to us as a church and individually. And now as we depart from this building, pray that you will bless us, keep us safe until the next appointed time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.